You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 221 of Well Met, Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Tuesday, December 3rd of 2019, and it's been a long time since I've been on the show. I apologize for that. I've been really sick after BlizzCon. Like, I am still actually sick, and it sucks. But at least I have a voice. I didn't have a voice for like the last 3 weeks. But it's finally come back. If you hear some coughing, I apologize. But I am joined here by... Well, first of all, I'm J.R. Cook. I forgot to introduce myself. You guys know me. But I'm joined by the one and only Danny Donuts. How's it going, Danny?
Gotta lay off the smokes, J.R.
I don't smoke. BlizzCon just made kidding. Me sick. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it seems like that's happened to a lot of people who went.
Yeah, but this one is just will not end. Like, I was coughing so much that my ribs are bruised.
Oof.
Like, that's how bad it got. So, yeah.
And it seems like Ray has something similar right now.
Yeah, Ray wasn't able to join us because he's, like, everything he's talked about on what he's going through right now sounds exactly like what I just had.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a voice. He's coughing all the time. So, hopefully it doesn't take him 3 weeks to recover like it did for me. So, but what have you been up to, Danny? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a bit. Played a lot of Battlegrounds, played some Wild to get ready for this next expansion.
Yeah.
But it's rough, man. Snip Snap is ever present in the format, and I think this is the longest we've had a tier S in the Wild format. We had it in the past with Druid, but like, Snip Snap is the new Naga Sea Witch. It's the new Star Aligner. It is the new broken deck.
And it doesn't sound like Blizzard's going to do anything about it anytime soon.
To the contrary, Ixar had mentioned something about it. I don't know if they're going to do anything relatively soon, but they said that they've definitely addressed it as an issue, but I don't know like how they're going to adapt to it. If they think something that's going to come out in this set will approach it. So, I mean, we haven't seen the full set revealed, so maybe there's something that destroys the deck, makes it unplayable, or like is at least a counter to it. But They said that they are aware of the issue, and I mean, they have been good at making nerfs in the past for the dev team. So I have some hopes, but We'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, I hadn't heard that. I just assumed that. With the holidays coming up, the new set and everything, that you guys may not see anything until next year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't, but the Wild community is in an uproar right now. Like, a lot of people are speaking out on this. Like, I know for a lot of the other broken decks, people would speak out about it, but I don't think there's been as much expressed distaste for this deck than what we've seen, and that's definitely a positive. The question is, we're a smaller community, right? So What appears to me is that a lot of these people do it, like speaking out about it. It comes down to how much does Blizzard actually get exposed to it, and where do they draw the line at it being enough? Yeah. So, and the big thing about it is that the deck is not seen as it's similar to a lot of other really strong decks in the fact that it's not seen at the lower ranks because there are some combo things. It's not like an automatic win like Naga Sea Witch, but if you're playing it and you're able to just get the combo, you win, but you have to plan it out. There's a little bit more thought that goes into it. So, I don't think that representatively they'll see it in lower ranks, which is something that is really big on the Naga Sea Witch that got that nerfed. It was when people like rank 15 were pulling ads on Reddit, you knew something was a problem. Yeah. It hasn't gotten that far down the ladder.
Yeah, I was gonna say, all you need to do is go take out an ad on Reddit and get it changed, right?
Yeah, right. That's the most direct way to contact them.
Even though they already had it planned by that point, but still, it's a good meme. As for me, I've been in the same boat where I haven't been playing Battlegrounds the last couple weeks, just because of the holidays, and then trying to get back into work, because I missed 3 weeks of work. Even that's like, granted, part of that was because I was out in Vegas for a conference while being sick, so that was fun. So I was doing really good with Battlegrounds when it first came out. Like, I was always like 300 below, like, where you could get into the top 200, basically. But now I'm like so far behind, it's not even worth it. It's not even worth trying to climb up there. Because top 200 now is like 6,500, 7,000, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's higher. I think it's around like 8,000 at this point. But yeah,
it's just keep increasing. I just can't keep up with it.
I mean I don't do it any. I play Battlegrounds maybe once or twice every other day or so, but I'll do it with friends. I'll queue up with people and go into a queue with them, and I'm waiting for the 8-player just get a lobby of your friends, because that is going to be super fun.
I'm like, totally waiting for that too. Like, I'm already getting people who run tournaments asking me if I would be interested in helping them, like, run
when that comes out. Yeah,
like run private lobby tournaments and stuff. With Battlegrounds when it comes out, when they start allowing that kind of stuff. And I think Blizzard's really, really needs to get that going pretty soon. Like, that needs to be at the top of their list.
So this is still technically in the beta, but I'm just hoping that when they get to the full release, that they speed up their changes, because not much has been, like, they made some nerfs when they switched heroes and everything. But one of the things about auto battlers is that they do get solved very quickly. And Hearthstone, just having the engine itself, is very, I don't want to say easy to solve, but it's easier compared to the other games. So like, the meta needs to be shaken up very frequently. Like, if they plan it like, oh, once a set they'll go and they'll change it, or two times a set, that's not quick enough. It needs to be weekly in order for it to stay relevant, in my opinion.
And they need to I 100% agree. It's definitely in the honeymoon phase right now, and whether it sticks around beyond the honeymoon phase is yet to be seen. Because we were just talking before the show that with auto battlers, it's very much you get into it and you're all in for a bit, and then it just drops off.
It seems that they drop off when either a meta is really bad or when there's a lack of change. That's what I've seen so far throughout all of this stuff. So I think that quick to the punch is mostly that where Blizzard can capitalize, because it's very easy to make changes. I don't know engine wise if it's easy to make changes, but conceptually switching cards in and out shouldn't be too hard.
Or switching heroes in and out. Like, heroes are a big part of the game too.
Being able to
swap in and out heroes every day, or something like that, you know. Dota Underlords has this system that ended up not working out really well. But it was this concept of jail where they would take certain units every day that would be like banned, basically. And then the next day would be different units. So the idea is that you would have a different meta, like, basically every single day. Just the concept ended up not working out well in the end. Like, it sounded really good on paper. It just didn't work out well in the game. But there's a handful of reasons for that that I think they're trying to fix. But I've been having a hard time following that game lately. Beyond that, I haven't really been playing Standard. And I kind of had this complaint at BlizzCon about it And I even told them, like, during my interview, I'm like, hey, I haven't played Standard all month. In fact, the last day of October for that month, or the last day of September, August, September. I don't know. What year is
whatever
it?
Month that was.
Whatever month, it was October. The last, because we're in December right now. The last day of October was when I did my 5 wins, and that's the first time I've ever done that. It was just like, and I told him that I'm like, the meta right now, like, to get me excited to play your game, your you know, to play standard or play mode or whatever is just not there. And we had a short discussion about why and stuff like that. But one of them is the meta right now has just been yuck. Everybody's complaining about it. And yeah. Part of the reason is because of what we were really excited about when it happened, those wild cards coming in. But Evolve ended up kind of ruining all of that. And Blizzard has done nothing to do anything with Evolve, which I don't blame them. What they should have done, in my opinion, was just go, okay, well, Evolve didn't work out. We're taking it out of the pool, right?
Yeah.
It's going back to wild. And they didn't even do that. But the good news is, it goes away in 2 days.
Yeah. So it should be interesting. Like, I think that's the one thing, if I had to say to Hearthstone to improve the development cycle is, I don't know, quicker changes. That seems like the thing that'll keep it fresh. And I mean, this is what, I mean, we've said this religiously on the show, but I think that's the main thing. And I don't know how they did a lot of engine rework, and I keep going back to that, but I hope that they have things in place so that they can speed things up in the future, because with all the resources that we have, just like the deck tracker, the HS replay, we're able to solve all this a lot quicker. So things aren't as fresh as long.
Right.
Everyone's gotten better at the game too. That's something that you don't really take into account, but a lot of the things early on in Hearthstone's beginnings was people were trying to figure things out. They didn't really know a lot of the things. I actually went back recently, was watching some of the old YouTube videos of like when GVG came out, and people were still making blatantly horrible mistakes and not like acknowledging it. So like, I think that just as a general player base, because you suck around through the game, you've gotten a lot better at it. So I think that now as a team, they got to start going towards the direction of saying, okay, well, everyone knows what's going on with the game. Maybe we add a little bit more nuance in, or maybe we can go through and like start changing things more frequently.
Yeah. I agree. And what is weird is the development team was starting to get in that mode where they would be like, oh, this was a mistake, let's change it. And they didn't do that with this. And so that kind of surprised me.
I have a feeling that they're focused a little bit more on Battlegrounds and their attention is divided.
Maybe.
I think that may be a factor.
It could be. Maybe. I know that they were really excited about Battlegrounds and they thought that it would take off, but maybe...
I mean, it still is taking off. I was playing Battlegrounds earlier today, and I would say 80% of my friends list is playing Battlegrounds right now. May just be due to the fact that Wild is not in a good place, but 80% of the people who are online were playing Battlegrounds.
I have friends that I never see play Hearthstone because they just don't like the game, like logged in playing Battlegrounds.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been a huge boost to the game, and it's still very popular. But Blizzard seemed like, when I talked to the developers at BlizzCon, they're like, we're on to something. We think we're on to something, and we think it's going to be big. And Battlegrounds has kind of proven that a little bit for now. Like I said, we're still kind of in that honeymoon phase, and we'll see where it goes from there. And it could be that they're like, they just had a small team or something on it. And then maybe they're realizing, okay, this is a big enough thing. Maybe they're doing a lot of shuffling right now on, you know, getting a team that maybe a team that's dedicated just to Battlegrounds or something like that. And maybe you're right that it's distracted them a bit from the other, you know, reacting to the other parts of the game. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, that's kind of the big news there, is that the patch hits on the 5th. We're going to see a different meta. The new set drops on the 10th. We'll definitely see a new meta.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And we have 88 cards revealed so far of the new set. And the full set gets revealed tomorrow on the 4th.
Yep. This should be a good one, too. I believe Crip is doing it might be Mike Donane, Crip. Who are the people who are doing it?
It's Crip.
Dean Ayala.
And Chris Sierra.
Chris Sierra.
Yep.
Yeah. So that should be fun. Yeah. That should be a good one to watch.
Yeah. And the other bit of news is that the Wintervale event starts here on the 11th, I believe. And you get a new card back for that. They have a bundle where you can get a really creepy druid hero. It's the creepy tree thing.
The tree.
The tree man. But they did say that the Turan Day, they'll have full details on what they're doing with that on Thursday. So for those that missed out on Turan Day, we'll find out if you can still, we'll find out how you can get that here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. That was a Twitch Prime thing, I believe, back in the day. And I think it was a limited time thing. And they've always said they're going to start trying to bring her back and get some stuff in because not everyone had the opportunity to get her or something like that. So it'll be interesting. Now that they're opening up, bringing things back, I still have hopeful things. I think there's one season that I missed a card back, so I'll see if they introduce something like that potentially.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But the big thing is, we haven't talked to you guys in so long. We didn't do any card reveals or talk about the cards because we haven't done a show. And so what Danny did is I tasked Danny with this. Is I'm like, okay, pick like 15 cards that you think are awesome and we'll talk about them. And since I have been out of commission, I haven't had a chance to really dive in deep into the cards. I've seen a handful of these cards revealed and I've read them, but there's a lot of names on these that I haven't seen yet. So this will be my first time looking at it. I even told Danny, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go look at some of these or all of them and, you know, come prepared. And he's like, no, don't do that. I want you to...
Yeah, no, I shot him down.
Yeah, he told me he wanted first impressions. So a lot of this stuff I'm going to be seeing for the first time.
Yeah, I think it's good to have the first impression because your reaction to a lot of cards, you don't really gain too much thinking about them for too long. There are certain intricacies that you do find out over time, but I think general reactions are very good on card sets. That makes the set reveals and reviews pretty good.
Yeah. So I accidentally closed the window that all of the cards are on. So what's the first card that we're going to be talking about here, Danny?
All right. So the first card that I picked out was Depth Charge. It is a 1-mana 0/5 neutral rare, and it reads, at the start of your turn, deal 5 damage to all minions.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about this card. This is a card that I think is very, very good. But before I go into some things, what do you think, JR?
I mean, it's definitely an early game card, it feels like, but because it's at the start of your turn, so you have to play it. Your opponent can do something about it. And if they don't, then boom, right?
Yep. So it's kind of like Doomsayer in that essence, right? It's a sure. Doomsayer for 1 less mana for 2 less health. But so there are two things associated with that, where a lot of times against very aggressive metas, Doomsayer on 2, especially as being someone from Wild, Doomsayer on 2 does not always clear the board. And that is something that I'm not super thrilled about when I'm trying to play like a control type of deck. But if I want to get a Doomsayer down to stop the early aggression and then it gets killed, it's like, okay, well, I played 2 mana, didn't really do much. Death Charge comes out early, so you can make sure against aggro you like hold them off in certain times. And I don't think the 2 health is very consequential a lot of times, especially because a lot of times when you play Doomsayer, you'll put it behind a taunt or something. And I think that for 1 less mana, 2 less health is pretty good. And against most aggro decks, dealing 5 damage to everything versus just clearing the whole board is not much of a difference.
Yeah.
But the other thing I felt about this card is that they're really put with Zephyr. You do have a lot of Reno support in Standard and in Wild at the moment. And one of the things you always run into with Reno decks is that you want to have some sort of like consistency within the deck. So a lot of times you're only running 1 copy of Doomsayer in the deck. And Doomsayer is typically a card that's good enough to go in almost every Reno deck, especially if you're trying to play against aggro. So I like Depth Charge just for the fact that it offers you that sort of like consistency where you have 2 of the same effect in a deck. And that kind of counters the Reno, the plague that happens in Reno decks where it's like, okay, did I draw the 1 copy of the card that has this effect or I lose, right? It just brings the consistency back. So I like it for that. I think that this is going to be a staple in Reno decks for a while. I think that, I mean, especially being someone who is a wild player, that's really big to me because Reno decks are always tier two in meta. So it always goes through and you're always trying to find new things to slot in those decks. And I think Depth Charge is definitely something that's going to be pretty good.
Interesting. Yeah. So I'm trying to think of cards that you could also use this to your advantage as far as like Warrior with Rage, right? Where maybe you could get, and the only problem with that is that comes later game. Because I'm trying to think, like Freeze Mage, you're always able, like one of the things with Freeze Mage is you're always able to like freeze all their minions and then put down a Doomsayer basically. You can do basically the same thing with this. Just Doomsayer seems a little more powerful in that regard just because it destroys the minions, whereas if they have like a dragon out there or something, you know, that dragon's still going to be out there because you're only doing 5 damage to it.
Sure.
But I wonder if there's some shenanigans you can do with a warrior with being able to also have like some big rage minions out there or something like that, but... Probably
so there
not.
Are some things in Warlock that you can do with eggs. So I know that you have the serpent egg in the in standard, and you have whatever the other egg is.
Yeah.
So
destroy your
depth
egg,
charge is
right?
very good. Yeah. Destroying eggs is something that you can do. Although you got to be careful, right? Because if your opponent knows what's going on and they can't kill a depth charge, but maybe they can deal 2 damage.
Yeah, they kill your eggs and then kill your then kill your dudes. Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, it's definitely something you can think about. You can always go and try to take this into a tempo route, right? Maybe you're playing... I could actually see this in a tempo zoo build, right? Where if you're... You need to make sure that you have tempo as a zoo player. You need to make sure that you have the board. And I could see you going through and turn... I don't know. If you go in and you play this out early, just guaranteeing that you have board. But then later, let's say you put down a small taunt, like a Void Walker, a Depth Charge, and then some eggs. Your opponent can't get through the Void Walker and kill the Depth Charge or the eggs. So they'll like put 2 damage face. And then all of a sudden you have a refill on the board. You cleared their tokens. And like, I mean, that's a dream scenario, but I think that you could potentially start building some things around that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the next card here?
All right, the next card's going up a little bit here. It is a neutral common, 5 mana, 5/5, called Plate Breaker.
I've seen this one. I've seen this one.
And it reads, Battle Cry, destroy your opponent's armor.
It says, Battle Cry, rest in peace, Control Warrior.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
So, I mean, this card seems the most out there that I've seen. This seems like it's like one of those custom Hearthstone cards that someone made just because the guy hated Warrior.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
but
this is a tech card. I mean,
yeah. Oh, I definitely agree.
If something is extremely popular on the ladder, this is what you can tech in. And guess what? It's not going to be popular anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, Warrior was strong for a while, right? So you had Dr. Boom and all the armoring and everything. So this just makes sure that now you have the potential, if Control Warrior, for whatever reason, was going to, or Bomb Warrior, gets really strong in this upcoming set because of certain things, well, you have a tech card and no longer can you, like, you can hate tech against it.
Yeah.
But from my perspective, this like is an incredibly strong wild card.
Oh yeah,
because for sure. Because Druid is incredibly strong with getting armor. We have Ferocious Howl, Branching Paths,
yep.
the Malfurion Hero itself. A lot of times when you're playing against a Druid opponent, they will have 20, 30 armor. And then if you're playing a control deck, most of the time it's like, okay, well, I need to do damage or I have to have a combo or I'm dead. But if you're playing up against a lot of Druids, Plate Breaker can be something that you can tech in. I don't know how consistent it is. You might want to be going and trying to do more combo-related things to kill a Druid, so it doesn't matter how much armor they have. But if you're playing a deck that can only do 30 damage and you expect to see Druids all of a sudden, you can go through and destroy their armor. This could be something actually in Standard where you have the Paladin, right? You have the Shravala combo, where a lot of times you're playing against a Warrior or a Druid that can just armor out of range, you're not going to win the game. So this might be a tech card in that. That's actually an interesting deck I didn't really think about beforehand.
Do you think that this card alone would make people not want to play Control Warrior.
Just because
they're afraid that this card is out there.
I mean, I don't think that the card is good enough to just slot in any deck. You like specifically have
but
to
be Control Warrior all of a sudden becomes good, then it's almost in every deck.
Yeah, well, of course. So I think it's a cycle, right? I think Control Warrior gets strong for a day, and then this card comes out. It's going to make a meta shift really quickly, right? Where Control Warrior is really strong, and then Plate Breaker comes in, it stops it, and then one plays Control Warrior for about a week, so Plate Breaker goes away, so Control Warrior comes back. So I think a card like this is actually very good for the health of the game, because it allows for the meta to shift back and forth, and like the Rocks, Paper, Scissors more or less evolves over time.
Well, I agree.
I do like it to that aspect.
Well, I agree with that. How many people, though, will go, well, as soon as I play this, and it's popular, there's a hate card out there for it. So why would I even play it to begin with? Why wouldn't I just play something else that doesn't have a counter to it?
So that's true. I definitely agree with you on that, but I don't know. It depends on how good the Control Warrior is. If there's an option that's around the same in strength, then yeah, you're going to go with the other alternative just because there's no hate card. But let's say Control Warrior's hands down the number one deck, then you're going to want to try to get those games out early. If you're trying to be competitive on it, you'll go through and you'll do that. You'll play Control Warrior until you start seeing this card.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't automatically lose you the game too, right? Because you most of the time when you're like your opponent's chipping away at your armor normally, and you have a solid 30 health underneath, you'll have 5 to 10 armor typically as a Control Warrior, unless you're getting really late game and then all of a sudden you have a lot. But a lot of the time you'll go through and like the Plate Breaker played for tempo, if it's a back and forth game, probably will only like be 5 mana, 5/5, deal 5 to 10 damage, which is strong, but it's not game breaking.
Yeah. And that's fine for ladder. But what do you think about like the tournament scene, though? Like, I would never even think about bringing like a Control Warrior potentially to a tournament, knowing that this card's out there, knowing that. Unless Control Warrior is just really good and can still just absolutely play around it.
Did that happen with like Secrets when we had Eater of Secrets in the format and other things? I don't think so necessarily. I think that it depends on like if you're talking about like big capstone tournaments, probably. But if you're talking about like the daily grinds, if you're doing like the Open Cup tournaments, I would be comfortable playing a Control Warrior deck in my lineup. And I mean, I might cue the one guy who has the Plate Breaker in his deck, but if no one's playing Warrior and it's not in the meta, I would definitely, if Control Warrior is that good, I would play it.
All right, cool. What's the next card?
All right, so we have Bad Luck Albatross, which is a 3 mana, 4/3 neutral rare. It's Death Rattle. Shuffle 2 1/1 albatrosses into your opponent's deck.
What are they, just 1/1 albatross with nothing else?
Just 1/1. That might be a beast, but I don't. Let's see if we have the token tag at the bottom. Don't believe so. I would assume that it's a beast.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think it's relevant. That's not super relevant, but I mean, it's something that's going to be a corner case in certain things, but it's a 1/1.
Yeah, but for 3 mana, those are really good stats, especially this when you include Death Rattle with it, right?
Yeah. So yeah, this is good because a 3 mana 4/3 is typically good enough to see play in aggro decks. I think you see the 4 mana 4/3 guy in Rogue for tempo Rogue, the pirate guy who gives you a card. So for tempo, I think this is just good enough. I think Rogue is going to have a field day with this card, but this also is, in a sense, a tech card as well, where let's say your opponent's playing a Reno deck,
this screws up Reno.
And it's a neutral option for it. Whereas in the past, you had things like Bomb Warrior, where you can shuffle a bunch of bombs into a deck. But if Reno decks do get out of control, which they have potential to with this set, I think that this is a card that's going to be like 2 copies in everyone's aggro deck, right? And that's one of the things you want to do as an aggro deck. You want to be able to avoid like all these, in Wild, the Reno effect, or your Zephyrus effect, or other things that are going on. You want to shut those down because they're really strong.
Right, and even if it's not a Reno deck, you're adding 2 additional cards to your opponent's deck that aren't very good.
Yeah, it's going to suck the top deck, the 1/1.
Yeah, like you're disrupting their deck. You're you're making their chances of pulling the card that they need lower, and making your chances better. Plus, it's just, like I said, it's good stats. Like, 3 mana, 4/3, and it's a beast, and it has a death rattle effect. Like, this is a really good card. I like it.
Yeah. And then the big thing on a lot of this stuff, this reminds me similarly to Hungry Crab, the 2 mana 2/3 that +2/+2 when you eat a pirate. And that took pirates out of the meta for a while because the card was just good enough stat wise to play two mana 2/2 in a deck. So if you were playing a 2-drop, you're playing that just no matter what, just as a tempo card. And when that happens, right, when the card is good enough, a tech card is good enough to play as is, I think that the counter, this is something where it's like, I think that Reno decks are going to struggle a little bit. Like, compare this to the previous card, the Plate Breaker, right? A 5 mana 5/5 is not something I'm going to be slotting into my deck just naturally.
Right.
So that's why I think that Control Warrior has a little bit more of a hill to stand on. Whereas if, like, Bad Luck Albatross destroyed your armor, as opposed to, like, if the things were switched, I would think that, I mean, it would be a broken card, obviously, but, like, I think Control Warrior would have a much harder time in that way.
Yeah, I really like that card. This is my first time seeing it, too.
Yeah, I thought it was like a pretty cool one.
All right, what's the next one here?
All right, so we have Kobold Sticky Finger, which is a neutral epic. It's a 5 mana 4/4 pirate with a battle cry, steal your opponent's weapon.
What? Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, that's, I thought that was pretty cool.
So, where this comes in handy, the first thing I think of is the stupid rogue sticky weapon. Why can't I remember the name of it? The one that keeps going back into your deck and has all the
enhancements. Kingsbane.
Kingsbane.
Yes, correct.
Like, this is the tech card against Kingsbane.
Yes. So we talked about this on my other podcast earlier this week, and essentially this card, and then there's another card that we're probably not going to talk about on this show because it's only wild based, but it seems like the developers went back about a year and they took all the hate cards and made them for wild, right? They have this card here, which goes through and steal, like, Kingsbane was a big problem, so this would have been a great card back then. And the other one is it's a neutral rare above the we can talk about this one, the Zul'Drake Ritualist, the 4 mana 3/9 taunt battle cry, summon 3 random 1-cost minions for your opponent, where this would be really good against Big Priest. But Big Priest and Kingsbane Rogue see no play in wild at the moment, so we're like, man, these are really good tech cards against those decks, but, like, those decks aren't popular at the moment. But at least for Wild's longevity, where it's like, if those decks do come back into favor because, let's say, a new card gets printed that will go through and influence them, all of a sudden you have options now. Especially for the Wild pool, just getting more options is great. The more unique an effect is, the better it is.
Yeah. This would also be good with the if Bomb Warrior was, like, super popular again. Because they always play that one weapon that adds bombs to your deck.
So I was thinking about this for a bit, and my thought process on Sticky Finger is that if it ever becomes a popular card, I wouldn't be surprised if you put, like, let's say you have a really valuable weapon. For example, a Lunith in Mage,
right,
and your opponent goes through, it'll be dangerous to steal their weapon, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's not the right decision to do this, but if the mages start running Kobold Sticky Finger in their deck so that if you steal their weapon, they can steal it back.
Right. Yeah. The only issue with that is that's a good one because you're not attacking with that weapon anyway, right? But the weapons that you attack with, more than likely, they're going to get used up. Right.
Mm-hmm. The ones you'd consider is, I'm not sure if this is still in standard, but it's the rogue weapon, the 3/2 that has death rattles. What is it? Do a death rattle of your opponent's, or a death rattle from your own minion. I don't remember the name of the thing.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about too. I think that is in standard still.
Okay, so that is the deck where you would run this as well, right? Because you have two charges on that weapon. You put the weapon up, and because you're a rogue, you can always break the weapon with your hero power, so you don't care that you only have two charges on it. Your opponent steals it, swings once, you steal it back, and then you have it. So yeah. I can see that happening.
I mean, Kingsbane Rogue would probably, like, if this card was getting played a lot, Kingsbane Rogue would be playing this to counter. You get their weapon back.
And Kingsbane Rogue's playing pirates just generally in Wild. So, So I mean, it fits into the deck as a pirate and meets the ship's cannon synergy. So it's not a bad card from that regard either. So Kingsbane Rogue probably plays this just in case it gets played against itself.
Yeah, sweet. I love the tech cards that we're getting. What's next here?
Okay. Kronk's Dragon Hoof. Hold on, let me get the... Okay, so Kronk's Dragon Hoof. 6 mana, 6/6, draw Galakrond. If you've already Galakrond, unleash a Devastation.
What's a Devastation?
So they are... It's Discover... So there are four options that you have. It's kind of like Kalamos, but the options are Annihilation, they're all zero mana, deal 5 damage to all other minions, Decimation, deal 5 damage to the enemy hero, restore 5 health to your hero, Domination, give your other minions +2/+2, and Reanimation, summon an 8/8 dragon with taunt.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so this card is going into every single Galakrond deck there is.
Right.
Just because, I mean, a tutor for your Galakrond is really big, because a lot of the times your Galakrond decks are focused around getting Galakrond and then getting his new hero power, and a tutor for that card just builds up the consistency on it. But with a lot of the tutor cards that you've had earlier in the game, once you've drawn that important card, they become dead cards in your hand, and you're playing them as the body. Where a 6 mana, 6/6 isn't bad, but getting the Devastation is just broken.
Yeah.
And then you also have the effect where this is a Battlecry card, so things like Barista and Brewmaster, if you play this, get your Galakrond, and then bounce it back to your hand somehow, that is going to be very strong.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that the card's not dead if you already have the card that's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool for a tutor. A lot of the tutor cards are exclusively tutors, so I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and this isn't one that we get for free, right?
No, we'll get to that in two cards.
Okay.
So the next card is Dragon Queen Alexstrasza. So the new version of Alexstrasza, 9 mana, 8/8, same stat line. Battlecry, if your deck has no duplicates, add 2 random dragons to your hand. They cost 0.
Oh, wow. That's broken.
So on my initial thought, it was broken as well. We don't know all of the dragons in this set.
That's
there
true.
Seem to be a lot more mid-range dragons
like
in this set.
Whereas, you get like a fairy dragon and feel bad.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the thing, right? So there are a lot of options. You have Brightwing, you have fairy dragon. But I mean, a 0 mana 3/2 is not good. But for a lot of the dragons you see in some of the classes that have come out, they're more or less, you'll have the 3 mana ones that discover other dragons. You have the ones that go through and have some sort of effect on 4 or 5 mana. And then you have the bombs that go off like the 6, 7, 8 dragons. So I think situationally that most cards off of this are going to be good, just because it'll either cycle a dragon if it's one of the cheaper ones or have some sort of effect that affects the game. I think a dragon just generally is going to be good. And you get 2 of them. So if you low roll on one of them, you have a chance. You still have a fairly good chance of getting a good dragon. But imagine you get like a big dragon off of this. Like I will settle for a fairy dragon and a Deathwing, or a fairy dragon and a Caligos. Like those are just broken on 0 mana.
Yeah, yeah. If you get like or like an Alexstrasza, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can always combo into herself too. That's big.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You can high roll into getting a couple big dragons, and what's nice about that is since they cost 0, you play like you play your 9-mana dragon, you get your 2 dragons, and depending on what they are, you can just go ahead and play them.
Yeah, immediately. Or you can hold them if they have like or if you have a battle cry effect. So this is like a board fill kind of. This is like a army in a can if you need it to be. But also it can be a value thing where if you're going card for card and your dragon that you get deals damage or does something like that, maybe you hold on to it.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Varian.
Yep.
Where because he always kind of recruited like multiple minions. He was a big card, but then you got like other big cards with him. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of that.
Yep. And so the effect is that if it's a single, this is dependent on the singleton effect. So that's something to note. But as we found with Zephyrus, if you're playing a deck that cycles or it gets through a lot of its deck fairly quickly, you can run some duplicates. So I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, you're going to be running Zephyrus in the deck that runs this as well, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a singleton deck. So control decks can run this because later on in the game, all of a sudden, like you're going back and forth, you've stabilized, you can just start dropping this bomb,
which is really strong. Yeah. This could be your bomb.
Yep. That could be your bomb, or the next card could be your bomb, which everyone currently has in their collection, and you can play it right now, which is really cool.
What's that one?
So this is Sathravar, and it's a 9-mana 5/5 demon. It has a battle cry. Choose a friendly minion. Add a copy of it to your hand, deck, and battlefield.
All right. So how does it pick? It's a friendly minion. You already have one out. You're picking the minion. This definitely should combo with some really awesome stuff that I just can't think of right now that I'm sure you already know.
Only seen some meme combos with it, but I think that the stat, the mana cost being 9 is really hindering on it, but I think Sathravar is the ultimate greed card. This is the card that you play if you want to make sure that you have the greediest deck.
Right, because you already have the minion in play.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a copy of it in play. You're also getting a copy of it in your hand that you can play next turn as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
I think the combo right now, because you guys have Emperor Thorsen in standard, there is an Exodia combo. I don't know exactly how it goes, but
the next couple days, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But essentially, you cycle through your deck, you discount your Sathravar and then your Sorcerer's Apprentice, you get that down. So there are a lot of shenanigans with it where you get it off with the Exodia combo. I don't know how it's exactly built, but I've seen it go off a couple times.
There, I haven't
really been following standard.
Wasn't there a Priest card last set that we talked about? Like, this could be really broken if someone could figure out a combo for it.
Was it the common that you're thinking about, the temple thing, the 5/5/05 that deals 5 damage?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have that out, your opponent's probably not going to kill it unless they, like, it's not a high priority kill minion. So if there are other minions on the board, they're not going to kill it. So it's something.
Mm.
But it's I think that realistically the card's not good enough to see like competitive play, but it's I wanted to mention it because everyone has a copy of this card and so people have been playing it. It's that type of thing where remember when Volcanic Drake came out where literally everyone was playing it just because it was a new card?
When did we get this?
It seems like people are doing that as well with Sathravar.
When did we get this?
A week ago or so.
A week ago. Yeah, I haven't played.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I think I saw the card and I was just like, oh, I got this card. And not even thinking about it, I think I thought it was like the BlizzCon card or something and didn't even look at it. So that's kind of funny. Okay.
So I actually left out a card I want to talk about. Okay. So there's a Hunter card called Stormhammer. 3-mana, 3/2.
Stormhammer. Weapon. Okay, it's a weapon. Gotcha.
Yep.
Found it.
Yep. Doesn't lose durability while you control a dragon.
Oh.
I thought that was pretty cool.
So, trying to entice hunters to play dragons, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, this essentially is...
I mean, this is the Eagle Horn Bow.
Yeah, but stats. I mean, instead of having to play secrets, right, you can play dragons. And like, if you're playing dragons, like turn three, you swing, turn four, you drop a dragon. You never have to go through and like, you can just use it as a constant weapon, which everyone's seen how strong Eaglehorn bow can be after you go through and like get a bunch of
Well, it's like a free five damage every turn.
Yeah.
Because three with that, well, not free, but three with this and two with your hero power.
Yep, so you can do a lot of damage with it, and I mean, if you want to go in the direction of playing Control Hunter, you can definitely go through and use it in that manner. There are some, I'm going to add this next card as well, Varanus, the 6-mana, 7-6 dragon for Hunter, Battlecry, change the health of all enemy minions to 1. So this is the typical Hunter Control legendary that they release every set. So every I find that it's funny because Control Hunter never becomes a thing in Standard, but it's actually a dominant presence in Wild. I think the best Hunter deck is a Control Hunter deck in Wild. So it's another tool for Wild, at least.
Yeah, and you could play this in combination with like Unleash the Hounds and pretty much take out everything.
Yep, board clear. Yep. And a lot of times, too, where you have removal spells that can deal damage to one minion, right? But they have an 8-8. You can't kill it. So being able to play this and then maybe a Corrosive Breath on top of that, you can just deal damage to the minion, kill it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yep. All right.
Okay.
What's the next one here?
So the next card I have, Nozdormu the Timeless. I'm not sure if we oh, no, I skipped one. Dragon Rider Talithra, which is in Paladin. It is a 3-mana 3/3 death rattle. Give a dragon in your hand +3/+3 and this death rattle.
Oh, so you have a lot of dragons playing dragons. You just keep making your dragons bigger every time your dragons die.
Yep. So essentially it's like, you will permanently, if you're playing enough dragons, one of your dragons will always have 3/3 extra stats throughout the rest of the game, unless your opponent has silence on it, which it's not a taunt minion. So most of the time silence is not going to be geared towards this. If you're playing an aggro deck, they're going to put it on a taunt minion.
So my question is, let's say you get a couple of these on the board.
One
dragon. Well, you can still make copies.
Let's say you said play faceless. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, you can still make copies. If they both go on the dragon, does that mean your dragon now gets double death rattle?
I don't know. I would think so because it's kind of like hand buff in the sense that your dragon's definitely going to be a 6/6 higher. Yeah. I don't know if it gets the death rattle as well. We may have seen this with the weapon Valinir. Because I know that there were ways to get multiple copies of Valinir and then kill them both. I just don't know how the interaction works. I think that it does proc, because I do remember situations where watching some like trolling video where a guy gets like 10 of them and the minion dies and then the weapon comes on and then the weapon re-equips and then it re-equips and it re-equips. I do remember seeing something like that. So the only way you could do that is if the death rattle stacked. So I think it works like that.
Yeah, because I could see yourself wanting to make copies of these dragons or something and then being able to put it on like one dragon and then playing that and still having a dragon in your hand, and that dragon just gets more, or multiple dragons, it doesn't matter at that point. Your dragons just start getting insane. The problem is, like, anytime like you've tried to make Dragon Paladin work, it doesn't. That's
so
the problem.
That I do agree with that. Although I think that it has enough residual tools. You do have the gargoyles that are left over from previous sets. The 2-mana 2/2s get Divine Shield Taunt if you have a dragon. But I think that they've given, just with we've seen 6 of the Paladin cards so far. The next 2 dragons that we're going to talk about are very strong. I think that the support of the second one we'll talk about is probably going to push Dragon Paladin or just Paladin generally up. But let's talk about the legendary Nozdormu, the Timeless. He is a 4-mana 8/8. I'm not sure if you've seen this card, but it has a pretty drastic effect.
I have, and I definitely want to talk about this because anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So the Battle Cry is set each player to 10 mana crystals.
Mm-hmm. So where I saw this card at was on actually the Blizz Pro power rankings, and Deck Tech and Otaku MZ they are the ones that do the power rankings. They had this card clear at the bottom as unplayable.
So,
and you're saying that you think it's very strong.
So, not necessarily in the same deck as like just dragons, but the one thing that the perspective that I'm coming from is from Wild, and we have a big paladin deck, the one where you play that 3 mana, draw your lowest cost minion, give it +2/+2. So yeah, that tutors this out, and then you're playing a bunch of big minions, you have the dual card. So all you're running is big bombs in that deck, and you can tutor this out. So I think that that is something that's worth investigating. I'm not sure if they gave enough support for it for standard, but it is a potential archetype in Wild. So that's why I'm excited about the card. But I mean, it does seem like a card that it's not a card that you're playing without shaping your entire deck around. Whereas the other dragons in Paladin, you can literally just slot the rest of them in no matter where they are, even in non-dragon decks. So I think you need to build it.
4 mana 8/8 is pretty crazy.
Yeah, just
but at the same is, right? time, so, but at the same time, you are now giving your opponent a chance to respond with 10 mana with who knows what they have in their hand.
Sure. So, I mean, I think against an aggro deck, right? Like, if you have the board at a fairly even state, you just played an 8/8 against an aggro deck early. So this is kind of like when you're playing Handlock and you drop down a giant. But all of a sudden, like, your opponent, they can flood the board, but you have the 10 mana the next turn. So I do agree that giving them the priority of having the 10 mana first is very difficult to adhere to. But let's say I have a 3 mana taunt up, it has 1 or 2 health left over. If I can stave off for a little bit and I can clear the board and I have an equality consecrate in my hand, like, you can potentially deal with your opponent getting a big board the next turn because you're a control deck. You have a lot of really expensive cards in your hand just generally. So your game plan gets accelerated. Whereas if it's an aggro deck, your opponent just going to play all their cards out and then pray you don't have a board clear.
And these aren't, when I play this, this isn't, I get 10 full mana crystals. This is, I get 10 empty mana crystals, right?
No, it's just like Mojo Master Zihi, where if you have any remaining mana crystals, you get those as well. So if you play this on 6, you have 2 mana remaining.
If I play this on 6, why would I I'd have 2 mana. So if I play this on 4, I have no mana crystals. Got it.
Correct, yes.
Interesting. But if I played on like 7 or something like that, it's not that bad. It's not as bad, right?
No, and I mean, even late game,
but,
right?
But then again, I'm playing a 7 mana 8/8. It's not really a 7 mana 8/8 though, because I will still have 3 mana crystals I can use for something else.
Yeah. Late game, it's not a bad draw. Like, just getting a top decking an 8/8 that costs 4 is strong in the late game. If you're both at 10 mana, like, that's just a strong play because you can combo it with other things.
Yeah, I just don't see myself playing this. I think I agree with
that. That's true. But I think that you'll have to go through it. I wouldn't be surprised if there's something to do with this, if there's some sort of paladin that wants to play this. I think it's more likely to pop up in Wild than Standard, but I think that it has potential.
All right. And then the last one was the Amber Watcher.
Yep, Amber Watcher, the best paladin card revealed so far. The 5 mana, 6/4 dragon, Battlecry, restore 8/8 health.
It's 4/6.
Oh,
which
4/6.
Makes it even that's better. 4/8. Which makes it even better. Oh, you said 6/4.
Yeah.
Okay. I think a 4/6 on 5 is way better than 6/4.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, no, that's a really that's just a solid card, even if it wasn't a dragon, right?
Yeah. So the comparison that you have to make with healing 8 health is Anti-Keelbot, which is a 5 mana 3/3 that has this effect. But the healing is not to your hero. The way it's you can restore any minion, any character on the board 8 health. So you can heal your hero, but let's say you're trying to trade for board, you have full health, you can heal up a minion as well if you're playing a board attrition type game.
Yeah.
And just a 5 mana 4/6 stat-wise is good. So, like, they're really pushing the dragon synergy with this because it's a dragon, but I think this gets played in every paladin deck. Like, almost hands down, this gets played in every paladin deck. No dragons or no dragons. You're playing Shirvala combo, I'm playing Amber Watcher.
Yeah, this is just a good card. It's just a good card, period. Like, yeah. There's no reason. Like, this feels like Druid of the Claw.
Yep.
Like, that level of power.
Mm-hmm. I think it's even stronger than Druid of the Claw, but...
Sure, but I wanted to give an example of a card that you almost saw in every single Druid deck ever.
Yes, that makes sense.
You don't really anymore, but you used to, for good reason.
For its time, yeah. It's kind of like Ancient of Lore, how that was in every single one.
Right. Okay, what was the next one here? Mind Flayer Courage?
Yep, Mind Flayer Courage.
Is that a priest card?
That is a priest legendary. 3 mana, 3/3, battle cry. Choose an enemy minion, death rattle, summon a copy of it. A new copy of it.
So you're not killing it. You're not killing their minion or anything like that. You're just saying, hey, I'm choosing this minion. Once you kill my dude, I am summoning this minion for myself.
Yes.
I
think it's a pretty cool card.
It's a cool card. I don't know how often it'll see play, but it's a cool card.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to learn how to play it. Because the instant comparison you would have to this is, why don't I just Faceless Manipulator the minion?
Right.
And how often do you see that?
Exactly.
But I think that it being 3 mana and being like a tempo play can, like, if you're playing like a tempo style of priest, I think that it's very interesting because you're able to go through and just get stats on the board. You don't really care what you copy because it has a death rattle. You can consider this a piloted shredder on 3. Like, that's pretty good.
I mean, you can do some shenanigans with this if your opponent's playing like certain cards late game too, where you could choose an enemy minion, be able to kill this, and then get that minion as well. Mm-hmm. But by doing that, you're basing that off of what your opponent's playing, and you don't know what your opponent's going to be playing.
True,
so
I do agree.
Why would I put this into my deck if I, you know, I don't know. It's kind of difficult. I agree that this is one of those that it would have to be. It might be very good, and I just don't see it yet. But I have a hard time putting cards into my deck that is based off of what my opponent's going to play.
I think that that's, I do agree, if you were trying to use it for that way, that's definitely something where you'd have to be intentionally building your deck to have something like that. But I'm thinking more or less for a mid-range style priest. If you're playing a tempo priest, I'm fine with playing this as a 3 mana, 3/3 that copies my opponent's 4, or like a 2-drop or
right,
something.
I'm right, fine and then with you that. Just get an extra dude. But at the same time, why wouldn't I just play like something with Death Rattle that might give me better stats?
Because it's a 3 mana, 3/3 that does it. I don't think there are any good 3 mana tempo minions for priests.
You're probably right.
I think that this is, I mean, like, the comparison is piloted shredder. This is a piloted shredder with upside.
Sure.
At 3 mana, -1 attack.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I see it.
Yep. Okay. So on to Rogue. So we have Stowaway, which is a 5 mana, 4/4 battle cry. If there are cards in your deck that didn't start there, draw 2 of them.
If there are cards in your deck that didn't start there, draw 2 of them. So you can go draw those albatrosses that just got added to your deck.
Yes. So that's the first thing that I thought of as well. So that does help if you're playing a Reno style rogue. But one of the other things that you have is you have the Togwaggle scheme. So you can put cards that you have into your deck and then tutor them, which is very strong.
Yeah. And there's other things that you're potentially putting in your deck as a rogue too. Mm-hmm. Like the ambush cards and stuff like that that sometimes happen. Where I don't know if you really want to draw those, but you know.
So I didn't have this card specifically on the list, but it combos well with the card to the direct right of it.
Question on ambush. Do those say when you draw those cards they get played?
Yes.
Yeah, so you could essentially just play this and get those cards in play with ambush then.
Yes.
Okay.
So I didn't initially have this on the list, but you haven't spoken about this card, I don't think. So this was revealed initially at BlizzCon, but Waxadread is the new rogue legendary. 5 mana, 7/5, death rattle, shuffle a candle into your deck that resummons Waxadread when drawn.
Yeah, I remember
this. So yeah, this works really well with that, where you have a Waxadread in your deck, it got killed, you stow away it, and all of a sudden this is a 5 mana, 4/4 plus a 7/5.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just I like what they're doing with some of these cards, where they have some abilities that are a little bit different than what we've seen.
Yeah, this set seems more or less like a puzzle where they're like, it doesn't seem like they're pushing archetypes per se. I mean, it's some of them definitely seem like they're going towards like a specific archetype, but it seems like, hey, here's a cool card. Let's see if you guys can make it work.
Right. Yep.
Yep. And then they can always go in retrospectively later on in the set. They can go in and say, hey, make a 2-mana rogue spell, put 2 5/5s in your deck, right?
Yeah.
Like, it could do something like that. Yep. They can always go through, if there's a cool effect that doesn't get utilized initially, they can make it better. Kind of like the Cathedral Gargoyles, the ones in Paladin, the 2-mana 2/2s with Taunt and Divine Shield. When you have a dragon in your hand, they haven't seen play for the history of Paladin, and all of a sudden, now that there's going to be a dragon paladin deck, you are going to see them having play.
Yeah. So Flick Sky Shiv, I've seen this one.
Yep. So this is the other rogue legendary besides Galakrond. It is the 6-mana 4/4 battle cry. Destroy a minion and all copies of it wherever they are.
Yep. Rip Pogo Rogue.
Yeah, but I think that
not that it was ever a thing. Not that it was ever.
No, that's true. When you look at this card, though, I think that looking at the all copies of it wherever they are was my hang up on the card initially when I saw it. I was like, okay, well, I have to play this card to get value on something. But I think a 6-mana 4/4 with an assassinate effect is just strong enough. You saw Vile Spine Slayer seeing play on 5-mana for a 3/4, and then you had to combo it. So I think that this, just as an assassinate, is good enough to play in a deck. And the upside of, let's say your opponent's running a non-Reno deck, they're probably going to have 2 copies of a card. So they'll kill it, and then they'll kill the other copy, whether it be in your deck or their hand. Or if it's a legendary, they don't mind killing it just because it's a good tempo play.
Or if it's a popular neutral card that a lot of decks are playing, you can have yours played, get value from it, assassinate it before your opponent's able to play their copies.
Yeah, so Ziliax is something that you got to think about, right? Yep. Your Ziliax, you get the lifesteal, trade with a token, you play this on your Ziliax, it kills your opponent's Ziliax.
Yep.
Maybe this is the answer to Snip Snap. This is the one where they go, you just play this and kill all the Snip Snaps that are on the board.
Yeah, you just you play your Snip Snap, and then your opponent never gets to play their Snip Snap.
Yeah. 9-mana rogue counter.
All right. That's an interesting card. I like the idea that you could play this on your own stuff and potentially disrupt your opponent. Like, that's kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Like, I don't know. Like, you could potentially do some shenanigans with this. You can do some You could do some hate shenanigans with this.
Oh yeah, you could do that. If you know your opponent's right, like, you're going to be running, because you're rogue, a lot of the things that you play in rogue are common staple neutrals, just because you're playing a tempo deck and the best tempo cards are most likely neutral. They'll make it into your deck. So,
you could potentially
that is something I didn't really think about.
You could potentially steal something from their deck as well and destroy
it. That's true.
So, it's interesting. Maybe you can get their Mechathune and then destroy it, and then they never get to play it.
That's a good one.
All right. What's the next one here? Shaman. Shaman doesn't have a lot revealed.
No. So, I don't really know the identity of it, of the class so far. It looks like it's 5/5s. That's the identity so far.
Right.
But I wanted to talk about Cumulo Maximus. The 5-mana 5/5. If you have overloaded mana crystals, deal 5 damage.
That's simple.
It's simple, but yet effective, because you have compare this to like the fire elemental, flame elemental. Yeah. So it's a lava burst on a 5/5, which is really, really strong. Doesn't overload you, and you still have in standard the quest. So this becomes a pyroblast. If you have overloaded things, you've used your hero power.
This is the old 8-mana pyroblast before it got nerfed.
It really is. It really is. This is really dangerous because Shaman is Shaman is strong because of Evolve right now, but I don't see it losing any steam because of this card. I think that this is going to go into the Evolve, not Evolve, into the battle cry shaman that currently exists. So
yeah,
that deck is not going to lose steam. It's just going to have a different flavor.
I mean, you can basically just play an aggro shaman, knock him down 20 life quick, and then have your finishing move.
That's what I've been playing on ladder and wild. I've literally been playing like Tunnel Trog, Totem Golem, aggro shaman, and this would be a really good card in that. So yeah. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm not sure. Do you want to talk about, I didn't have this on the list initially, but we have Bandersmosh, which is the 5-mana 5/5 shaman legendary, which has been revealed. There's another one, but each turn this is in your hand, transform it into a 5/5 copy of a random legendary minion.
All right. So it's kind of like the Shifter Naris or whatever his name was.
Yep. So it's like Shifter Zaris, but the copy stays at 5 mana.
Right. Yep.
So I think that is what makes this card stronger, because ultimately, most legendary minions in standard have either they're like, even the smaller ones, right? They have good battle cry effects most of the time. Your legendaries do things in this game. And being able to get, I mean, random ones, you're not going to be able to select it and everything. I don't think this is going to be a staple anywhere, but I think people are comparing it to like Shifter Zaris or something like that. I think people are definitely downplaying how good this potentially could be. I mean, I'd have to play with the card to see how good it actually turns out.
And the mana cost is still the mana cost of the legendary that you're
copying. No, it's 5 mana.
It's still 5 mana. So you could get, you can get a 5 mana Alexstrasza.
Yes, you get a 5 mana Alexstrasza. You can get a 5 mana Deathwing. You can get the new Deathwing from Warrior, which we'll talk about later. Like, you can get a lot of really cool things.
That's actually pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. I think I agree with you. Like, if people are downplaying, yeah. I don't think it's right to be downplaying this. Like,
correct. I think this is the one that people really. If there's any card that's being slept on, it might be this card. I just don't know how good it is. Someone did a breakdown on competitive Hearthstone on all of the legendaries that are currently in the game. And I think that it was like an 83% chance of being a good legendary on any turn. But there was like a 25% chance that it was situational, that yeah. It was okay. Like they had a breakdown
but,
of
but
it.
But it's every turn. But if it's a bad one, you just wait.
Yes, exactly. So, but the thing is, a lot of the situational things where it's like, oh, like just normal Deathwing, right? That's a great legendary to have on 5 mana, but let's say you have a full hand, all of a sudden it's a bad one. But
right.
you do have a point where if you go through and eventually you'll hit gold. But yeah. There was always, we had Camellios, which was similar to this in Priest, where it's like a copy of a card in your opponent's hand. Your opponent's only going to be playing good cards, right? So eventually it'll be good. But Camellios didn't see play. I don't know about Bandersmosh, but it's along the same veins as something like that. But it is 5 mana, so I think that that's the thing that really keeps it as a good sticking point.
Right. Okay, what's next?
All right, so...
this is the first spell next? We've talked about.
Yes, Nether Breath. This is a warlock spell. Deal 2 damage. If you're holding a dragon, deal 4 damage with lifesteal instead.
Interesting. What dragons are warlocks playing normally?
Not many.
I can't think of any.
So we will talk right now. We'll bring up the dragon that was revealed for Warlock so far. Crazed Netherwing, 5 mana 5/5. Death Rattle, if you're holding a dragon, deal 3 damage to all other characters.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a Hellfire plus 1 mana on a 5/5 body.
Yeah.
So I think that there's potential to play a dragon warlock, and the direction that I don't think many people have seen so far. The thing about Nether Breath that I immediately saw, and because I'm a wild player and I'm always looking for direct damage spells, is that it goes face. A lot of the warlock spells that you have that deal damage, like I think it's the one that got discounted to 1 mana that deals 4 damage, and it deals 4 to you, it doesn't go face. So the thing that I could see happening, there's a deck currently in standard. It's not super good, but it's the Rafam's quest where you go through and then your hero power costs 0. There's like the Sunkeeper Raw combo where you go through and then get all the Sunkeeper things and then you make Raw the 2020 and you kill your opponent. It's a little janky. I think that you can take that shell where you're going through, cycling through your deck, and use Maligos, like OG Maligos, and use this with some of the other direct damage that you have to go face, and then create an OTK Warlock deck.
Yeah.
So I think that there's going to be a Dragon OTK Warlock deck. I don't know if it has all of the pieces in Standard. This is mostly what I'm seeing for a lot of the things, but I'm very excited because it has all the pieces in Wild. And like Emperor Thorazin is going to be really good with this card. That's why I'm very excited about this card. I think that you're going to most certainly have a Malagos Warlock for your Wild.
That's pretty cool. For Standard, I'm just not seeing it. Like, I'm looking at the dragons that Warlock has here in the set. They're okay, but not enough that I'd feel good about playing around. And then I'm looking at the ones in, like, the neutral ones. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I have a feeling that Blizzard's holding back on some of the good dragons for this set reveal just because they need things. And a lot of there aren't that many commons that have been revealed so far. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are some just good dragons that haven't shown up yet. But I think that you're correct. I think this and the Crazed Netherwing are highly dependent on how good dragons are that are revealed.
Right. Yep.
Whereas in Wild, we have like Twilight Guardian. Yeah, you have a lot of just generally good dragons that you'll play. So we'll always have a dragon deck.
All right.
So this is the next legendary is incredibly unique. Very cool. I'm very happy they had this card.
I've seen this one. Yeah.
Valdris Velforge, 7 mana, 4/4. Battlecry, increase your maximum hand size to 12. Draw 4 cards. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. I love this card. I love the idea of bringing back like Handlock. In a way, right? Because that's basically what this is doing. And I like the fact that the battle cry is permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like your whole game. It's like, cool, I can now hold up to 12 cards.
I'm a little disappointed that it says increase your maximum hand size to 12 as opposed to increase your maximum hand size by 2, because I would have loved to play this with Bran and then Zola and then go again and then get a 20 hand size.
And then just break the game. That's probably why they did it this way, because you can just break the game.
Mobile players would have their phones blow up.
Right. Like, planes would die, down, because someone's playing Hearthstone, and their phone explodes.
I think it's a good card, and I also think that the hand size thing is definitely a gigantic upside, but the other text on the card is draw 4 cards. A 7 mana 4/4, so it's like a sprint with a 4/4 body in a class that can draw cards very efficiently, in a class that has the Rafam's Quest. Like, I don't know. I think that this is a card that you really want to see in that deck, because you're trying to cycle to the end of the deck to do whatever you're trying to do, whether it be whatever combo. So I'm excited to see this. I think it's just a generally good card, and I think any control style Warlock is going to want to use this, because all of a sudden, like, you can use your removal spells a little more liberally. You can go through, remove them, and because you have the ability to refill, which a lot of times towards the end of the game you're only drawing one card.
I dig this card. When I saw it on Twitter, this one was revealed a couple weeks ago, if I remember correctly. I think I was in Vegas when I saw it, and I'm just like, oh yeah, they're bringing back Handlock. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing I thought of, because there were some other cards I thought I saw that was really pushing towards Handlock. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this was the only one. Summon a demon with taunt and stats equal to your hand size. Yep. The Abyssal Summoner. That was the other one that I think that got revealed around the same time. That was making me think.
I think it was a dual reveal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Abyssal Summoner is not going to see play in Wild just because of Gul'dan. That's one of the issues where you run into, like, there are some good demons, but a demon has to be spectacular for it to see play in Wild because of Gul'dan.
Yeah. All right. Just got a few left here. What's the next one?
Yeah.
This one's the Warrior Weapon.
Yes, Ankar. I actually like this. They put a legendary weapon.
You need to pronounce that one right.
Ankar.
There you go. It's an anchor.
There are those extra R's that were lost when Patches lost charge.
They just need to put a D in the E at the end. And charge.
That's what it is. And that's the deck that's going to be using it the most in Wild. But it is Ankar. 3 mana, 2/3. After your hero attacks, draw a pirate from your deck.
Yeah. Yeah, you can draw the pirate that steals you. That steals your opponent's
weapon, so when your opponent steals your weapon,
you can get it back.
That's big.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is my note on this is that Pirate Warrior and Wild has gone maybe about a year and a half without getting support. That like the was Blood Sail Cultist the last good card that went into it for like it's really old, the update to Pirate Warrior, and yet Pirate Warrior maintains itself between tier 2 and tier 3 like solidly, expansion after expansion, even after the patches nerf. So Ankar is something that has been waited on for a while for Pirate Warrior, because a lot of the times when you're playing Pirate Warrior you run out of steam and you lose the game if you don't kill them immediately, and this adds a little bit of extra oomph into your gameplay.
And Pirate Warrior is not really much of a thing I think in Standard right now either.
No, I think you would have to provide more support. I think there needs to be more pirates, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are a couple more pirates that are shown for Warrior, but I mean
the fact that they're making this a legendary though it really tells me that we should be seeing some.
Yeah, and if not this set, maybe next set is the pirate set, and maybe it came a little early.
Maybe.
Yeah. While we're on this, I didn't include this card as something to talk about, but the one right next to it, Evil Quartermaster, same stats, but it's a minion. 3 mana, 2/3, battle cry, add a lackey to your hand, gain 3 armor.
Yeah.
Just generally, this is a really good card. For its stat line, I think Control Warrior runs this. I think Temple Warrior, I think every warrior runs this card. I don't think it's as good as Unstable Ghoul or the Ravaging Ghoul, but I think that this is going to be a staple in Warrior for a long time to come.
Yeah, anytime you add a lackey, it's a pretty good thing. Plus, you gain 3 armor.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not really flashy. That's why I didn't really want to put it in initially, but it's something that I just want to get on record that I'm saying it's a good card because it's a good card.
Good card. There's a new Deathwing card.
Yes, the Deathwing.
What?
8 mana, 12/12, Deathwing Mad Aspect. Battlecry, attack all other minions.
So does he just start attacking until he dies, basically? Or does he just go and attack all the minions at the same time? Because that would be cool.
I believe it's kind of like Mass Hysteria, but he's the only one attacking.
Yeah, so eventually he dies. So he might attack like 2 minions and die, right?
Well, I mean, the 2 minions have to have 6 attack, right? Like, it depends on your board. Against aggro, this is a full board clear, almost guaranteed. I think it's just more redundancy in a warrior for board clears, where you can consider this a board clear. It's not going to be a full board clear. You do have to pay attention. It's all other minions, so it's yours as well.
Yeah.
So if you have a full board and you play Deathwing, you might kill your own board, and that's going to be sad. But I think it's really cool on 8 mana. It's a very unique card. I think it's going to be played, but I don't know how it's going to be played.
I just like the fact that we're getting a third Deathwing. I mean, how many more Deathwings can we go?
I mean, we have the Deathwing Hero. That's the 4th.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we have 4 Deathwings. So many Deathwings.
The most represented card in Hearthstone has now been surpassed from Dr. Boom.
Yeah, Deathwing.
Yep.
And
I believe that we can talk about the Galakrons if you want to talk about those. I think that they've been beaten to death.
Yeah, we got a new lackey as well.
Yep. So, as predicted, it was the Dragon Lackey. Yeah, 1 mana, 1/1, discover dragon. I don't remember who predicted it, but someone on the show predicted it.
It was probably when you did the show with the other two guys.
No, I'm saying a while back before the whole set was revealed. I think that
when we were talking about dragons.
I think that we were saying ridiculous things. What would the new lackey be? And then someone's like, "Oh, it was time warp lackey. Take an extra turn. Battlecry, take an extra turn. 1/1." We were complaining about lackeys and how strong they were.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think that you're the dragon. Discover a dragon.
Yeah. Gotcha. I get it now. Yeah, that does sound like something we would have said. So cool. I'm pretty excited about this set. Like, I was excited just for the fact that I knew going in that this was going to be a dragon set, just based on the artwork that we got beforehand. It was very obvious that they're the Year of the Dragon. It's like, okay, if you guys are naming this the Year of the Dragon and you don't have a dragon set, you're missing out on something here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And in the interview that I did, like, they even stated that. They're like, of course we're going to have a dragon set in the Year of Dragon.
Yeah. I'm surprised they waited this long for a dragon set, right? Like, dragons have been core to Hearthstone for a while, and they've gone deep on a lot of the archetypes, all of the tribals they had. Like, they've even gone in on totems. They've had a bunch of beasts. They've had a bunch of other things. Dragons have been the thing which have been, in my mind, like, holy. It's like the type of thing that they don't print too many of them because too many dragons are too strong. And I think just inherently because of that, a lot of the cards that exist throughout Hearthstone's past all of a sudden now become stronger. And especially in Wild, where we have like Blackwing Corruptor that becomes a relevant card again. You have a lot of cards that are dragon based that just get an uptick. And I think that Wild has distanced itself from Standard significantly, but I think that a lot of the decks that have, I think it's going to be even further. I think that we're gonna benefit more from this set than I think Standard is, to be perfectly honest. I think that we have a lot more tools, and with the way that they're developing cards, a lot of the cards are like, huh, well, if there is support for these cards, they could be good. And a lot of the times, like, we just have that inherent support built in due to the vast card pool in Wild. So I'm very interested to see which cards take off and which ones are actually better in Wild than Standard.
Yeah. You know what they should do is a week or two after the set launches, update Battlegrounds with a Dragon Tribe.
That would be cool. My co-host on the other podcast, Saucy, was saying Ankar, when he saw this card, he thought that they literally made this card only so that they could add the Pirate Tribal into Battlegrounds. Because it's in theme. They're going to print a couple other pirates, and now you can put pirates into Battlegrounds.
Yeah, pirates would be fun. I just feel like Dragon would fit a little bit more because you already have cards that also... like the menagerie
buff dragons
that already kind of buff dragons and it would be kind of interesting if they like rotated out like beasts or something like that and put in dragons or for a bit just for the Year of the Dragon. But you know, I got to thinking about something while I was talking about this and thinking about Battlegrounds. Is we talked about right before the show how Battlegrounds they haven't done a lot of updates to Battlegrounds since they launched, and that's one of the things that's kind of important to auto battlers. I wonder if they're going to be, especially around when a new set launches, if they're going to be reluctant to push new changes to Battlegrounds because they want people to go play the new set.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think that you do. It's a tug and pull type thing, right? Where around the new set, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a new if there's like a month where they don't update it just because they want people playing the set. And then just as the meta is about to get stale, a new tool would be to update Battlegrounds, because I think that Battlegrounds getting updated, even just because of Hearthstone being the game that everyone's playing is their main game mode, people are going to go through and play Battlegrounds when it gets updated. So that can be another tool where, you know how halfway through each expansion they'd go through and nerf some cards? Well, now they can speed up the cycle where, let's say, twice every expansion, maybe a month in and 3 months in, they'll change Battlegrounds. So maybe Hearthstone changes as a game, so you're not playing ladder the entire time, but maybe you're playing Battlegrounds for some of these other months.
Yeah, I wonder if that's... I wonder if they're going to do that or not, because, like I said, there's people that I know that are playing Battlegrounds a lot that don't even touch Hearthstone, like, in general, and haven't for years. But they came back and playing Battlegrounds, and they have no intention in playing Hearthstone in general. If you're eventually going to, like, shoo away those players that aren't paying anything anyway, though. So, I don't know. I'm curious to see what their support is.
You can draw
for
people
that,
in, right? So I think that if you've been away from Hearthstone for a while, and all of a sudden you come back because of Battlegrounds, and you see a cool new set come out, maybe you get the set, right? So I think that just the proximity of bringing people in is something positive.
Yeah.
Player base, getting that player base up is always good. The question is, do they want, it's where do they want to take the direction of Battlegrounds? Do they want it to be a standalone game? Do they eventually take it out of Hearthstone itself and make it its own standalone game, like in the Battle.net launcher? I don't think they'll ever grow that far, but yeah, they have the potential to do that. But I mean, if they want to make it a standalone game, they could do that and give it a full like dev team separate from Team 5. And you could always do that if it's such a big hit. So I don't know if the future of Hearthstone is Battlegrounds or if it's just this amalgamation. I mean, Amalgam is the best card in Battlegrounds, so I think they might be taking a little hint from that. So a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. I think it's just a good way of getting people to be able to jump in and play, get into the Hearthstone client, right? Especially ones that have been around, that haven't played it in a while, or even those that weren't interested in Hearthstone to begin with. I don't know any of those people, though. I think that's one thing that auto battlers always kind of had, is they were able to just pull people in that had never played Dota before, or have never played League of Legends before.
That was me,
Yeah, I don't see a lot of people hopping into Battlegrounds that never played Hearthstone before.
I don't think it was as widely popularized. I don't think that, because it wasn't its own standalone game. I think that people had to have known, you had to be in a Hearthstone circle to find out about it. Whereas for the other games, like, I'm not in any Dota or TFT circles, but all my Hearthstone friends who play those games immediately pointed me in that direction.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, it could happen in Dota, right? Like, someone likes TFT. Oh, hey, there's a quicker, like, easier game that is in Hearthstone. You should check it out. Like, it's mostly word of mouth how that gets around.
Yeah, it's true. Awesome. Anyway, I'm starting to lose my voice. So,
as am I.
Yeah. it's probably time to definitely get out of here. All right. So, we didn't have any emails this week. We've been kind of away, but if you want to email us, wellmet@blisspro.com is the place to do that. Patreon, if you want to help support the show, patreon.com/wellmetpodcast is the way to do that. $2 a month gets you early access to the show. We didn't do a pre-show this week. Not going to do a post-show, so there's no, like, extra pre-show, post-show this week. But we will be doing that on the next episode. I just didn't want to do it on our, like, our first week back in, like, a month. So, patreon.com/wellmetpodcast is the place to do that. iTunes, if you want to help support us in another direction, leaving a review over on iTunes or Apple Podcasts is a good way of getting the show noticed. And getting more listeners and stuff like that. So it's a great way to be able to support us, or just tweeting at us, or just emailing us, or whatever, like, is always great. One of the things, I think I mentioned this when we did the BlizzCon episode right after I got back, before I got super sick. You know, just being able to come by and say hi to us and stuff. Like, I met several listeners at Con Before the Storm during one of our panels. And you know, that stuff goes a long ways, just being able to interact with you guys on Twitter. Like, this is the reason why I do this. It's not for any other reason other than that, to be honest. I just love the community. Anyway, so shout outs, and how can people get in touch with you, Danny?
I don't have any shout out this week. Battlefy didn't do anything stupid, so I can't rely on them.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna abstain this week from shout outs and shout out the set, I guess. I'm excited for the set, man.
Yeah. Where can people find you at?
So you can find me on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS.
Yeah. For me, my shout outs would be to, let's see, what is all the medicine that I took the last 3 weeks? I don't even want to go into that. Just stuff to try to make me feel better, and water to try to make my throat feel better during the show. So, I'm going to give a shout out to Ray, because Ray needs some love. Ray needs a lot of love. He's really sick right now. Just, you know, like, cold wise. But also, we didn't really get to talk about this on the show, but if you've been paying attention to his Twitter, he's got some other stuff with his heart that I'll let him talk about when he's on. But if you're interested, go check that out and see what's going on there. He needs some good vibes. We need to give him some good vibes. As for me, you can find me over on Twitter at Eldorian. So thanks for joining us for episode are we on? 221 of Wall Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at Walmet Podcast or email us at walmet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Buttonew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.